You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Caller 10, 800-636-1067. You are winning tickets to see The Offspring. It's the Supercharged Worldwide and 25 Tour. Saturday, July 19th, Jiffy Lube Live. This is going to be an awesome show. Special guest Jimmy Eat World, Newfound Glory as well. Tickets on sale right now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events.
Old Dant and Granny, the Grant and Danny radio program. We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transaction, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Let's get you to the Beltway Blitz. We'll cover the teams in town you care the most about. And we're starting on the diamond. Good news, bad news for the Nats today. We'll start with the bad news. Dylan Cruz to the injured list, dealing with an oblique and a back. And this is one of those injuries, as we bring on Bobby Blanco of MassinSports.com, that can linger for weeks on end. From what I've heard, it's more on the minor side, and they're hoping that he can get over it pretty quickly. But what do we know about a timetable to get Dylan Cruz back, who had homered in each of his last two games?
Yeah, the timetable is tricky to kind of put into place. You mentioned there, Grant, like, you know, these injuries could be like a couple of days, a couple of weeks, God forbid, a couple of months. So, you know, the Nationals obviously felt that it was bad enough to go ahead and bring up Robert Hassel III, get that in motion last night. He's in the lineup today, playing out in the outfield. So they figured that no matter what, they were going to give Dylan a rest here. It's been bothering him for a while, too. I think Dylan mentioned that his been a couple weeks back since he's been kind of feeling it, and then he really felt it kind of hit him on that check swing last night after he hit that home run. Not a great sign for one of their top young players in Cruz, but it does open the door for Bobby Barrels to come up and get his major league debut.
So what do we know about Jacob Young as well? Because I thought last night, okay, you know, Dylan Cruz has to step out of the lineup, so I'd assume that Jacob Young, maybe not well enough to go full bore, could pinch in. But no, it's got to be Jose Tania borrowing somebody's glove. I don't know if he's using a kit from the stands
Nassim
or what.
Nunez.
Excuse me. Yeah, Nassim Nunez. I got my – anyway. Nassim Nunez in center field. So what's going on with Jacob Young?
Yeah, that was a tricky thing too, because Jacob was originally in the lineup, and then I think they scratched him closer to the game. Didn't want to push it. Jacob told the media there, like, you know, he feels like he could play, but just wasn't quite sure. It wasn't 100%. He really couldn't finish his swing during batting practice, was the quote. So that's not obviously a good sign with his shoulder after he crashed into the wall at Camden Yards. It was a good sign, I guess, in the sense that they thought he could go, and then maybe not so much that, hey, let's just give us another night, give him a rest. But he did not land on the injured list. So that seems more of like a day-to-day thing than Cruz is more of a long-term 10-day thing.
So Robert Hassel does get promoted. First ever chance in the majors. First of all, do we know if he'll be in the lineup tonight? I'm assuming he will be, because why call him up and then not play him? And then secondly, tell us about Robert Hassel.
Yep, he's batting seventh. He's playing in center field starting tonight with, of course, Wooden left. And I believe Alex Call's in right. So, yeah, he's coming up and getting in the lineup right there. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, Robert is one of those five prospects that the Nationals got back in the Juan Soto trade. At the time, he was actually considered one of the top or more highly rated prospects. Has kind of slipped a little bit, but mostly due to injuries. He has not stayed healthy since he has joined the Nationals. When he has been healthy, he's performed. He had a good spring last year, and then his season was marred by injuries. He had a good performance in the Arizona Fall League for the third time last fall. And then another good spring this year, and then has a solid start out in AAA. The whole thing with him has been health. If he can stay healthy, the Nationals really believe that he can be an impact player for them. He believes it too, talking to him down in West Palm over the spring. You know, some players with all the injuries that he had, some guys call it quits, and they're like, you know what, I can't do it. My body's not reacting. You know, I just can't stay healthy. I'm going to call it. Robert used it as motivation. I mean, he said he's been rejuvenated with all these injuries, with his love for the game. He wants to get back out there. He knows he can do it. If he can figure out how to stay healthy, that he can be productive for them. So far, so good, and he's going to get a chance to show it this week.
It feels like when Mitch Parker pitches, you got to hold your nose for one inning. And depending on how bad that is, it ends up being a decent start. It was wild last night, but he was somehow effective, got deep into the ballgame.
Yeah, that's kind of the roller coaster with him. I mean, actually, I think his start last week in Atlanta, when I was down there with him in Atlanta, he actually had a good first inning and first couple of innings. And it was kind of like, oh, maybe, all right, this is something that we can kind of build upon. But yeah, kind of got away from him last night, the second one. Second inning as well. I mean, after the Nationals jump out to a 3-0 lead, the Braves get right back in it. And, you know, that's a tough lineup. That happens. And it's always tough facing the same lineup in back-to-back starts for starters because they can make so many adjustments against you. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing for Mitchell right now is, like, how can he get out of those first couple of innings? Because then once he gets into, like, the third, fourth, fifth, he's usually settling in and is pretty solid and can give them a quality start here and there. So, you know, it's starting out fast, hitting the strike zone. He didn't walk too many over the past couple starts, which is a good sign. He had been prone to a lot of walks. And we know he's not a big strikeout guy, but as long as he's not giving up free passes, I think that helps those first innings not be as big and as damaging.
Bobby Barrels, too. Bobby Blanco with us on the Blitz. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Anytime.
See you, dude.
Got it. Let's keep the Blitz moving. Benjamin Brown, the Score, joining us to talk all things NFL football. Benjamin, we were told for 72 hours by a bunch of reporters that the tush push was going to be banned, and then it wasn't. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say this is one of those situations where, you know, the polls, who you're asking, no one actually wants to admit to being the people that are maybe going to vote in the Eagles' direction, it sounds like.
What other obviously, situations are like that that come to mind? Is there any other situations?
There's a few. I mean, obviously some electoral college aspects of
politics.
It, presidency, those sorts of things. But I do think there is, you know, obviously a little bit of a misnomer when you're just, you know, feeling out exactly how people are going to actually vote in a closed door sort of situation. Obviously, those votes came to light, but I think in a lot of ways, you know, there was probably some politicking from the Eagles side of things as well, which moved the needle a little bit. But I do think if you add a lot of people within the buildings, it did seem like it just wasn't pitched correctly in the approach. I do think, you know, in subsequent seasons, we are going to see a little bit more effort and maybe a little bit of a different light on how it's actually approached. But from that standpoint, there just wasn't enough people fully on board to put the name behind this sort of approval, I would say, at this point in time.
What about the postseason seeding? I thought we had something there.
Yeah, a lot more, you know, of the same sort of story, I do think, in a lot of ways. Like, that's something that probably just takes time to develop. And I do think in a lot of ways, teams gravitate towards making the less extreme decision, especially when they don't know how it's going to impact them in the subsequent season and subsequent upcoming seasons. And I do think that was one that, you know, kind of came to the surface relatively late in the process, and for that reason probably just didn't have enough support. But I do think once teams, you know, do their own analysis on how that could be potentially beneficial, maybe that's another one that kind of comes up for discussion. But I do think just in the way in which it was approached, kind of haphazardly, kind of late in the process, I just don't think there was enough backing to even get it to a vote at this point in time.
What's going on with Aaron Rodgers at this point? And do the Steelers know that he's going to play and that's why they're cool with their roster? Because if he's not going to play, they're not going into the season with Mason Rudolph, are they?
Yeah, that's definitely a recipe for disaster. I do think, I'm not quite sure why it hasn't come to light yet. I do think maybe there's, something there with training camp showing up and actually getting involved with this sort of team if you do want to have success. But it doesn't seem like Rodgers is all that interested in that. To me, I do think this is maybe, two sides that are sort of lukewarm and everyone else has kind of pointed at them to be, this perfect pairing. And in a lot of ways, they're the only ones that are kind of left at the dance that haven't found that sort of partner. And I think for that reason, there's a little bit of maybe even animosity on both sides of the equation and some sort of willingness to need one side to actually cave first in order for the deal to actually happen. I think maybe that's a little bit of what's happening right now. But I'm still, up in the air on what, Rodgers can even bring to a team, especially a team like, the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they're going to be constructed going into the 2025 season. And I think from that standpoint, Mason Rudolph obviously isn't the answer. Neither is Will Howard, Skylar Thompson, or, I would say even really Aaron Rodgers is going to be that person that brings them over, into the promised land from a playoff standpoint in the AFC North. And I think until they really find an answer to that question, they're going to continuously kind of be this team left out of, the QB carousel that we see every single offseason.
We do have a rule change, though. The onside kick, slightly different than it was before by a yard. What can you tell us?
Yeah, just a yard, basically. Obviously, the starting point for where they go, matters to a certain degree. I do think it's obviously... I do think they changed the timing in which you can do it as well as I think it was previously only in fourth quarter games. Obviously now you can do it at any point if you are trailing, which again is kind of a little bit of a weird rule in and of itself. But yeah, I don't really think this moves the needle too much. And again, we did see obviously, onside kick success move pretty dramatically towards being almost an impossible task. I do think the 1 yard differential maybe matters a little bit. But this is still a scenario where we're not going to see really any sort of success in the regular season or postseason from an onside kick perspective until we do get some additional movement on potential rule changes to that particular area of football.
Benjamin, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great show.
You got it. There's Ben Brown of The Score. Let's localize the football. Mitch Tischler covers the Commanders for Monumental Sports, and he joins us now on our Blitz. Mitch, let's start with Terry McLaurin. Report from Jordan Schultz today suggesting the reason for his absence is that he doesn't have a contract. We've been here before, just a few years ago. Any reason to have any concern about him and the Commanders getting something done?
At this point, no. We've seen Terry in the facility this offseason. We've seen him at many OTAs and other things around the team. Listen, this is something that I think is a storyline because we're in the middle of – it's a Wednesday in the middle of May, and there's not a whole lot else going on. I have no doubt this team is going to take care of him. We've heard everybody say that they plan on doing it. Terry understands the way that these things work, and quite frankly, this isn't a Trey Hendricks situation yet. However, at this moment, there's not much I'm concerned about, and I think it's more much ado about nothing.
Mitch, I've been asking everybody. I want your view on this also. Non-special teams touches. Who's got more offensive touches, Luke McCaffrey or Jalen Lane this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think Jalen Lane probably – I think Jalen Lane this season because I think he fits at least what we saw at Virginia Tech. Fits a lot of the type of things that Cliff Kingsbury likes to do. And I think when you look at the way that this team is going to probably use a guy like Deebo Samuel, where he's going to line up in the backfield some, he's going to have a couple opportunities to catch some of those tunnel screens out on the outside opposite of Terry and execute those types of plays. And we know that's the type of thing that Cliff Kingsbury likes to run. We saw it last year, obviously with Yami Brown being very successful in the playoffs, but all season long. And I think that a guy like Jalen Lane fits that sort of role a little bit better than a Luke McCaffrey, who I think is going to work almost traditionally out of the slot. So I do think Jalen Lane will probably get more touches this season. But I do like what the future holds for a guy like Luke McCaffrey. although he didn't get a ton of PT last year or touches, we did see him running open a fair number of times, and just he and Jaden couldn't quite get on the same page. And so I expect that relationship to only grow from here.
How confident are you that they'll rush the quarterback well enough this year defensively?
Oh, I mean, I'm not confident that they're going to rush the quarterback particularly well, but if you were to tell me that I was going to trade off a couple of sacks to stop a couple of the long 20-yard runs that they gave up, I'd be more than happy to. And quite frankly, if I'm this coaching staff and I'm looking across the field and I say, I'll take your passing attack against my passing attack, there aren't many teams in the NFL that I think have a better ability to move the ball through the air than the Commanders do. And I think you're going to see a situation where almost, you know, the best defense is a good offense. And if Jaden Daniels and this offense are able to operate the way they were last year, then you're going to force teams into, you know, being pass-only teams. And you know how it is in the NFL. When you get them one-dimensional, you have an opportunity to take advantage of them.
Is their leading rusher not in Jaden Daniels' division in the running back room right now, or is it somebody to be named later?
I'll tell you what. I think Deebo Samuel is going to lead this team in rushing yards. I think that you look at what he did in San Francisco before Christian McCaffrey got there and the amount of production that he had there, I think we're going to see a lot of that. And we know that Cliff Kingsbury likes to get creative. He likes to have guys rush out of different positions. I think Deebo's going to get a fair number of carries, and he might lead this team in rushing.
That is one of the hottest takes I've ever heard. Mitch Tischler.
I like it.
I think his career high is like 365. That's amazing. I love it. Mitch, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. No problem.
All right. Be good. Monumental Sports. That's our guy, Mitch Tischler, on Grant and Danny. And that is your Beltway Blitz. There's a television show that many of us have watched hundreds of times going off the air, sports show. I want to talk about that. And what was your favorite sports show to watch? Maybe growing up with some nostalgia, maybe it was as an adult. We're going to dive into that next on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thanks to Toby for the update. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll take you up to 6:15 in Nats pregame. So far, it looks like the weather is going to allow them to start the game, but it's going to rain a bunch during the game. So it's just a matter of will they start a game when around 8 o'clock or so. It looks almost certain that there's going to be rain for much of the rest of the night.
Yeah, that's one of those fun ones where it's not raining now, but it's going to rain later, but it's rained a bunch today. And it's like, do we have enough of a window? The answer is maybe. I never know. Whatever it is, they never seem to make the right call, and I feel for them on days like this.
It's so true. Yeah. It's not anybody's fault, probably.
Like these are the hard ones.
I think they make the right call like 9% of the time, and I'm not trying to Joan. It just, I can't make the right call.
Yeah, ain't no dome, so you're doing the best you can.
You're on a river right there on the Anacostia. It's a really weird location. But whatever they decide, it's probably going to backfire.
Like when it's not raining at the storage facility right across the street, it is raining there somehow.
It's harder, the weirdest.
You know?
But if the forecast calls for driving rain around 8 o'clock, 8:30 tonight, with the new rules in baseball, an hour, 90 minutes, you could probably get four and a half innings in if everybody's moving quickly and there's not a lot of offense, you know, in 90 minutes of baseball or something. You might be able to get five plus innings in. So they might just try to push it and keep it moving. And I would imagine they'll start on time or as close as they can. The 6:45 start time, the rare occasion where it might help
them. It might help you.
But enough about that. We can get into that when we hit the leadoff before we say goodbye in our final segment. 30 minutes from now, for the record, George Atala is going to join us. Formerly very high-ranking executive in the NFLPA for many, many years. We're going to talk to him about all of the things going on at the owners' meetings, including something he'll have some perspective on, which is the owners deciding they're going to let players take part in the Olympics and flag football. I think that's awesome. So that's coming up in about a half hour. Friday is the final day of the TV show Around the Horn on ESPN.
Mm.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised by the waxing poetic that I've seen everywhere about the end of this show, because it has been an institution on ESPN for many, many years. When did it start? Somebody looked that up for me. I'm going to guess it was around my middle school time frame when they redid their lineup and they had PTI, which is one of the most popular, highest-rated shows in ESPN history, still one of their highest-rated programs. And then they had Around the Horn in that same kind of lineup.
First episode was 2002. November of 2002.
That sounds right. Okay. Yeah,
23 years.
So that's eighth grade for me. Sorry, that checks out. So 23-year run. So whenever there's... Look... There's going to be a lot of people when we do our final show, if we're lucky enough to know it's our last show, where we like emotional and like, it's going to be terrible to not do this. And people are like, just get these guys off the air. Someone else will do this tomorrow. But I've watched hundreds of episodes of that show, probably thousands, honestly. I used to watch it all the time. I haven't watched it in a long time. But I love the format of having sports writers discussing the news of the day and somebody giving credit to them by way of their points in a scoring system.
Good point. You get a point.
I think it's a really, really good format. And I always loved the show early on. Were you a Around the Horn guy?
I was a pretty early adopter. I liked it a lot better once they... This is going to sound like I'm ripping somebody. I'm not. I liked it a lot better once they replaced Max Kellerman. I think Turner Reale is just eminently more likable than Kellerman was. And that's not a, again, it sounds like I'm ripping Kellerman. I'm not. Well,
you're ripping Kellerman.
I suppose I am. But it just, the show felt more friendly, more natural,
like
more
fun. He sucked and he's unlikable. And I'm not saying anything bad about the guy.
Again, it comes off really harsh. I just think Reale's really good at this. There's lots of people who don't host Around the Horn. Like, I don't host it, for example. Tony Reale does it. And there's a reason he's done it for 20 plus years. He's so good at it.
Why does he do nothing else? That's always been weird to me. So he was stat boy on PTI, mm-hmm. and then he became the host of Around the Horn. And like, I saw him doing some interviews, and obviously he is synonymous with that show because he's been the host for almost every episode ever since, as you said. They went to him. But like, he never hosted anything else, to my knowledge, at ESPN. I've never seen him really do. I think he's a local guy, too. I think he lives in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to people, bump into him out and about all the time. Is that random to you that he's basically just done one show and there's... Like, you don't hear him on ESPN radio. You don't see him do any other programming.
You're right. I mean, it, you foot in the drawer to probably do whatever you want, you'd think. But what do I know? Maybe it requires so much to do that I don't know. I mean, usually for ESPN, if they've got, is anyone willing to offer a hot take? And then you trot that guy out for 48 straight hours on every show,
my point
dropping
is,
it somewhere.
He doesn't have to give takes. He could just be a host at a desk. He's never hosted, not an NBA countdown, nothing. He's just the guy that touches the buttons. It's almost like he's a typecast actor. The only thing he does is that and nothing else. I've always found that weird. That's all.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. I don't know. I have not thought about it. I have no good answers for you, which I know is very compelling in our format here.
Weird stuff that I think about.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? That's a good point.
So
here's
my hot Around the Horn take. Okay. Again, format awesome. Loved the show. Watched it every day for a long time. It got to a point where they would have people on that I don't care what they think. And when they started to really expand the lineup of who the analysts, for lack of a better word, were, that's when it got watered down for me. And I don't think it's even a bad strategy from them. It became the way that they pushed and branded people. It became the way, you know, think WWE wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a push, you become more popular and they're trying to get you over. When, you know, Mina Kimes becomes the it NFL analyst for them, she's going on Around the Horn every single day. When Pablo Torre or any of these guys are the new ESPN, we want you to like this guy and know this guy, and we want that likability politician style where he rolls up his sleeves and you want to have a beer with him, they would put him on that show. But that show to me was, the beauty of it in a sense, was like, there was a PTI element to it. It was curmudgeonly, kind of older writers. It was... you know, back when I first remembered, it was like Woody Page. Not that I'm a, you know, some diehard Woody Page guy, but I became a big fan of his shtick and the sign he would have up behind him. It was Bill Kalishaw.
Tim Kalishaw.
Tim Kalishaw. Mm-hmm. Bill Plaschke. I combined two guys. Bill
that
Plaschke,
guy's a great writer.
Tim Kalishaw. Jay Adonde was mm-hmm. on it all the time, I remember. And then Jackie McCollum. But like these, you know, lifer. All time, give them an award because they just wrote about sports for 30 years at a national level type people. And then I'm not trying to knock anybody, but then it just became the ESPN flavor of the week, random, that I don't know.
Yeah, do you cover Chicago for the ESPN affiliate? And then that
yes.
person's on there. Do you cover the you know, are you in Nashville? It's just the again, it sounds like a ripping people, but that's the point. Is it like
when
became
I turn
less...
on the show and I don't know two of the people in the boxes?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I care about their take on the big thing last night? That's where they lost it a little bit for me. I don't know if it was for everybody, but that was certainly... So I got that guy? I saw that. That guy hosts a show on ESPN Radio at 11 p.m. I've heard of him three times, but mm-hmm. like, that's the face of... You know, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I think like the world moves, and where it was once novel and then was once really good, I'm now kind of... I don't know. It's like... it doesn't excite me anymore. I haven't watched an episode of Around the Horn in years.
Me either. I would say the last time I watched an episode of Around the Horn was probably a decade ago, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But I would say this. If you told me right now that Around the Horn tonight was going to have, I'm making this up as I go, but like Mike Tirico, Ian Eagle, I don't know, Doris Burke, and... give Bob Costas in the boxes and they're mm-hmm. going to debate sports for 30 minutes, I'll probably find a way to watch that. You know, it's archived, it's available. Mm-hmm. I got ESPN Plus. To me, I think the whole point is it just became like random takes from random people that are on the ESPN in the car wash that day that are there and that they're assigning to that show.
Yeah.
And the whole point initially was there was some reverence to it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I know what you mean. So to me, so a couple things happened. I think your point, I think, is right on. The second thing is, this is not a great example, but I'm making this one up. The Super Bowl gets the same amount of time as like the X Games or like the motocross event gets the same amount of time as the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. There was no distinction. So it goes in these circles and they're doing this like super quick touristy 20-second little soundbite with a couple of points. And the majority of the show, I haven't watched in a long time, so it may not be as up to date, but the majority of the show, I'm going, I don't care about 80% of these things. You see what I'm saying? Like the same way that ESPN's 24/7 programming, more from when nobody had highlights, they used to be highlights, now everyone's got highlights, so what do we do? I need the Shouty Show to tell me, the latest feud between this guy and this guy and this outfit this person's wearing and, where's this next NBA player going to play next summer? The way the content machine's going. And that show became more of those things to me than it was that, as you said, like the hottest sports issue of the day, it just felt less hot sports issue there. You might get to it, but it gets a minute. And now we're back to, whatever thing that I've gotten not that interested in. That's how it felt to me. So it was, I think it's a combo of watered down panelists, and it sounds so disrespectful to people that have accomplished more than me.
These people are more impactful in the business than we are.
We're punching up here. But it's watered down, to me, watered down topic and watered down panelists. Just kind of, my interest waned. So, we should go back and say, what an impact that show had for almost 25 years in one of the most challenging, ridiculous, hard, absurd industries that sees millions and millions of changes that goes at light speed.
Totally.
1 year on ESPN is 15 years anywhere else. That's remarkable. That's awesome. But also to say, hey, it's probably time.
It was a hell of a run.
It was, 100%.
Awesome, awesome 20-plus year run. I don't think that the format is out of date. PTI is still going strong. I'm pretty sure it's still the highest rated show on ESPN. They haven't changed a thing about that show in 20 years. It's Kornheiser and Wilbon, man. That's the secret sauce. It's those two guys. Now, there's days when they're out, obviously, and people fill in or whatever, but it is the exact same structure.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that is the perfect structure.
Yes, it is.
Around the Horns was good. Theirs is perfect.
Yep.
It's all the biggest stories. You know when they're going to hit because they've literally got the column on
I
the
got
side.
It right there.
They're going one by one. They're only giving you 2 minutes, so you're basically leaving them wanting more. It's our idea, essentially, behind the scenes. Radio insider here of what we'll leave the phones hot sometimes and move on and come back to it because it's better to do too little of something than too much of something. So it's 2 minutes. The bell rings. We're moving on. That's a great show. They haven't changed a thing. That show's not going off the air, and people still love it. People podcast it. They get it in all kinds of forms.
So here's the difference.
By the way, I still watch that show.
Yeah, we conflict with it, with our little thing that we're doing. But yeah, I mean, I watch it.
But it's not like you have to watch it live. ESPN
totally.
Plus has all of this stuff available 24/7.
I know, but I was doing shake. The point is, though, for me, it's those two. It's Kornheiser and Wilbon.
That's my point.
And I don't, if they had a day, I'm making this up. Let's say going forward to mix things up on PTI, Wednesday's non-sports day. Tony and Wilbon are going to debate the Oscar nominees. They're going to debate movies or a bunch of pop culture topics. I'd still watch it. I want to watch those two talk about stuff. They're so good that it transcends any kind of topic or whatever's going on in sports.
They take a lot of time off, cause just older in their career,
yeah.
Especially Kornheiser, it feels like. And Wilbon travels with NBA stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of stays afloat. But the structure, everything's quick, right? It's only a 30-minute show, but they got 5 good minutes. They get an A-list guest on mm-hmm. for 5 minutes. Really quality
yeah,
show.
Yeah, the format is awesome. And again, those two guys are stars. It's the same thing, for me, honestly, with the Junkies. I don't care. Like, unless they're talking about something that I actively hate, like golf or something that I get annoyed about, I just want to hear them talk about stuff.
So
like,
PTI might actually be the answer, by the way.
Yeah.
But this brings me to the topic at hand and the question I want to set up here. With Around the Horn going off the air Friday, 2 days from now, they're going to be signing off for the final time. What was your favorite or is your favorite sports television show? I actually think I want to do a little bit of a nostalgia to this. So, like, what was it? either growing up or that's no longer around.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the show that you loved most from a sports standpoint that you remember watching that you don't anymore because it's not available to you? Let's fill up the phones on that, and we'll have a little discussion with Round the Horn going off the air. 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is the Fan. Around the Horn saying goodbye for the final time. They sign off on Friday. 20-plus years on ESPN as a mainstay in, do you call that in television, drive time? Nobody's driving and watching
TV.
Yeah,
I guess, right?
I mean, but that is end of the work
day. Pre-prime time. I don't know what the word is.
So what was your sports show that you liked the most? Ideally nostalgia. It's not around, but it's fine if you want to cheat a little bit, and it's, you know, a sports show that you loved. Maybe you don't as much anymore for whatever reason. Life happened. No longer in your wheelhouse. Mine is off the beaten path, but I actually see somebody on the line has it. So I'm going to go to this guy and let him say it. John's in La Plata on Grant and Danny. John, what do you got?
For some reason, I thought that you would like this one, Grant. It's Stump the Schwab. I don't know if I'm butchering the guy's name.
That was it.
But the old trivia show from ESPN.
So good. so good. So I believe he's no longer around. I remember talking about this when he passed on the show several months back. But Schwab was a producer behind the scenes and a numbers guy that basically was a lot of the research for ESPN.
I mean, a sports savant.
Guru.
Like, savant.
So one of the probably the smartest trivia sports person I've ever met or known in my personal life is Pete Medhurst, our late great buddy.
Yeah.
And Schwab was a national version. Like, he was like Pete up levels, right?
Yeah.
And Schwab had a show for a short time, a couple of seasons. I don't remember how much it ran. But it was like Sports Jeopardy, essentially, where three people would compete, and then the champion would take on Schwab. And it was the greatest show. It was a sports trivia show.
So they had basically, like, if you ever watched Beat Bobby Flay, right, yes, where the guy has like a special dish that he serves, each guy would come in with a team specialty or a player specialty and to try to still out Schwab the Schwab and couldn't.
Like, I could say early 2000s Redskins, me against the Schwab, let's go.
And he was as good or better.
Great show. Let's go to Steve in Manassas. What's up?
Hey, guys. I don't know if you guys are younger, but do you remember the old George Michael sports machine?
100%, man. Let's go to the videotape. So good.
Exactly. That started it all.
So he was NBC4.
Yep.
Obviously, I knew George Michael. He was still around when I was very, very young. I don't remember necessarily watching Sports Machine, but the way I know of it, he would stand there next to a screen. Then he would like tap as if it's a touch screen, a button, kind of what Helly would ultimately do thereafter, where, all right, let's go out to, and then he would just talk over highlights, right? Like the old school sportscaster way.
And no one had ever seen anything like it. Like, he's standing there with next to the reel-to-reel different tapes or whatever, right, and who knows what was real, what wasn't. But when he would break down the highlights in only his way, it was perfect.
Let's go to Joe in Montgomery County on Grant and Danny. Joe, favorite sports TV programming? Joe, you're on the radio. You will get nothing.
No, you're not, Joe. You're out.
And you will like it. Derek in Virginia, what's up?
Yeah, so I'm going back on this one. Redskins sideline.
What is that?
Oh, that was good. So that was with Glenn Brenner back in the day, Sonny Jurgensen. And I remember going on there live, and they'd have a studio audience and bring out certain guests that play for the Redskins.
Oh, wow. So television programming where you got players on with a live audience. That's pretty cool. Dude, local TV used to be
king, man.
They used to spend the money and be the bee's knees, and that's where you went for sports content. Like, you hear the call-ins, right? Remember, CK was just talking about, I think it was George Michael who did this, but that old NBC4, like, Thursday night show, and they still do some version of it, but it used to be Riggins and Sonny and George
just the
Michael
heaviest hitters, yeah,
and Daryl Green, and, you know, and it's just like they're breaking down the game where they're going to go blow somebody out 40-13 that weekend, and Joe Gibbs is joining them every other week in studio. It used to just be massive.
Times were different, man.
Let's go to John and Laurel. What's up, John?
Hey, Grant and Danny, first time caller, long time listener.
We appreciate
you,
buddy.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I got there. Hit that! Radio show and national TV show. So the national TV show was Saturday mornings, This Week in Baseball.
You're breaking up a bunch. I did hear him say This Week in Baseball.
This Week in Baseball. How about that? Oh, the best.
Bro.
The best.
Do you remember when you'd get to a baseball game in a big league ballpark on like a Sunday afternoon, and you're in your seat or you're walking the concourse or whatever like an hour before the game, and they'd be playing Twib on the screen? They would be playing This Week. That's my childhood.
Because the Twib bit. I mean, that's everyone. If you don't know about Twib.
Twib was it, man. This Week in Baseball, and they did the blooper every week with the blooper reel. And you'd see the bloopers. What a show.
I'm Mel Allen. This Week in Baseball.
Oh, what a great answer.
Aces.
Kevin in Centerville, home of the Wildcats.
How y'all doing, Grand Danny?
Good, buddy.
Mine was the sports reporters with it started out with Dick Schaap,
yep,
and John Saunders. But I was like, my addiction to it was so much. It was a Sunday morning staple, right?
Sunday morning.
On ESPN. And right, you know, before, like, they would have Sunday NFL Countdown or something like that. So you'd get that. And then I was so addicted to it, I would flip to ESPN2 because they would show it at 10:30. And I'd rewatch it because, wow, I was like, man, they're actually saying some, like, cool stuff, right? You know, Lupica is saying something nice.
Him and Bill Conlon are arguing with each other. Come on.
Mike Lupica was a great pull. He
staple
was on
that,
every week. So that show, for me, I was a child. It was so boring. I hated that show. But now I would love that show. I guarantee it. But again, remember, I'm 10 or 12 years old. That show was not for me. The sports reporters, that was not. It was just old guys talking about sports in a boring way. But he's so right. Those shows are gone. Those magazine-y type shows were. I would love that.
I didn't love that show, even though I was a little bit, I was older than you. Because it just felt like this New York focused thing. It was like Lupica talking about the Yankees, and Conlon, I think, was a Philadelphia guy. It never caught with me.
How about Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel?
Yeah,
recently gone. That's only been a couple of years that show's off the air. Real Sports was a staple for me on HBO.
So good.
It was one of those, if I missed it, I would go back and watch three or four and binge them at a time, you know, on whatever the HBO app was called.
Max or Go or Go Max.
Let's go to Bargov in Gaithersburg on The Fan. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
For me, it was NFL primetime.
Yep.
In the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, as a middle schooler, elementary schooler, just thirsting for NFL-wide highlights. And the supply-demand for highlights was a lot different back then than it is now, as we all know. So, man, there was nothing like that.
NFL primetime was the best. For those of you that don't remember, that was Chris Berman and Tom Jackson. They would break down this music. Crank it.
Yeah.
Every highlight of every game on Sunday night after the games. By the way, they still do this. It's Berman, and now it's Booger McFarland. And it's only streamed, essentially. It's on ESPN Plus.
Or they'll do it like at halftime of the Monday night game or something.
He does,
but like, not like this.
That's fastest 2 minutes. That's a different thing. So this is this show with him and no longer Tom Jackson, obviously, but Booger. I watch it every single week, and I still feel 10 when I watch it.
Because
Boomer's still doing the and he's still doing the rumbling, stumbling, tumbling. He's got all his shtick still.
NFL Sunday Countdown. Sunday NFL Countdown. You did not know what happened. You didn't know. You saw a highlight, whatever they gave to you. You saw a couple nuggets. You saw a little bit of information. You'd know the score. You'd have no clue how a team that was out of your market won, lost, everything in between until that show came on. It was the best.
Nate in Annandale, home of the Adams.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Buddy.
I'd like to say I got to go with Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon because – what we need in sports today is truth and parity. And, you know, but they're dynamic. You're not getting an Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark type thing where it's a racial thing. You're getting truth. You're getting experience. And I grew up reading their columns. I grew up like sports page cover to cover in the Washington Post in the area. Also, you guys are getting better and better. CK, pay these guys. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Hey, okay.
$5 in the mail. I mean, we don't make money currently. We would like to make some.
Tens of dollars changes hands every year.
We are not under contract. I just like the idea. Pay these guys. It's great.
Pay those men.
Pay this man his money. The Nationals just got postponed. They actually did it hours before first pitch, before anyone got to the ballpark and sat there and had their night ruined. So the Nats will not play tonight. How about that? Grant and Danny on The Fan. George Atala, longtime executive with the NFLPA, will join us next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America. We'll be right back.